This is a quick snapshot of the church functioning not as an organization, but as a living organism. Disciples being disciples with no central office, you know, backroom deal. This is just life in the kingdom and the way that discipline, church discipline, can happen in a way that begets life. Go for it, guys.
Yes, so this is my friend and brother, Stephen Walker, who many of you know. And I was thinking, as Sam was talking, that a lot of us are used to relationships, sometimes, unfortunately, even in a church setting, that can just go south really quickly. And you have a disagreement with someone, and then it's not handled quite appropriately, it's not handled biblically, and then there's a parting, and that's the end of that relationship. And this, I think, is a victory story. I think this is a relationship that that was redeemed by the Lord. And Stephen's going to share just a quick testimony and the process of what happened with him over the last year and a half here at New Life.
Hi, guys. Bear with me. My throat hurts. It's been hurting for 2 weeks. So this is a good time to share my testimony. I wrote it down because otherwise, I mean, it could take hours and hours and hours to share what God has been doing in me. So here it is. To those of you who don't know me, my name is Stephen Walker. I'm 26 years old, and I'm very blessed to be married to the beautiful Cassie Walker. Today we have two kids, Noah, who is 2, Rosalie is 10 months, and we are expecting Elijah Paul Walker, November 6th. I'm currently working with Good to Be Clean and really couldn't be much happier with that. I was asked today to share my testimony. In doing so, I want to emphasize why it is so important to follow Jesus and do it in his way rather than our own. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." I found this to be so true in such a short time. For sake of time, I want to focus on my life since I became one with Christ. However, I need to give you a little background so you can appreciate fully how much I was and still am in need of a Savior. My parents divorced while I was too young to remember. My mom was very abusive to me mentally and physically. My dad did the best he could to help me, but because of my mom and distance between us, he wasn't able to do much. When I was about 14, I ended up in foster care. In these few years before I turned 18 and was released into the world, I didn't learn too much about being an adult or being responsible. I only learned how to survive. Not live, but strictly survive. When I turned 18, I was a man who didn't feel like a man. I felt like the same little boy that I was when I was 14, being released into this mean old world, and I was all alone. I began hanging with the only people I could find that would show me love. I started doing a lot of drugs. I also drank constantly. I looked to women for this love I was seeking, but I couldn't shake the loneliness or the hatred I had for those that I felt should be there for me. I couldn't keep a job or maintain my own place for very long. I started going to jail on a regular basis and lost everything and everybody over and over again. I went to 2 different rehabs. I tried to kill myself 2 different times. Nothing seemed to go my way. I was in a bad place and it got worse every day. Then finally, May 18th, 2011, I was arrested for the last time. I woke up with what they call DTs, withdrawals from the alcohol I had drank. I was even suicidal. Another inmate came to me and said to me, "You need to get down on your knees and pray to God. Tell him you're sorry and ask him to forgive you and believe that he sent his son so that you could have everlasting life." So I did it. The next morning I felt great, like $1 million. The same guy brought me a Bible, and that's where my walk with Jesus began. I remember it like it was yesterday. All of a sudden, I didn't feel as lonely. I didn't feel like everything was quite as bad. Not only did I feel love for the very first time, but I was able to love other people, not for what they could do for me, but who they were. I started to look at people as his people. During this time, I felt a lot of peace for what was going on around me. I was in jail. I had been in jail several times before, but never was it like this. I wasn't really even worried about my sentence. I was content. I now know I was so content because Jesus was inside of me and I was following his voice through all the darkness in there. Galatians 5:22 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Finally, I was sentenced to 3 years in El Dorado prison, but miraculously, I only ended up doing just under 12 months. All through this time, I felt like I was a new person. I was reading the Bible constantly. I went to Bible studies and other church functions and other self-help groups to completely change the way I thought. I did my best to resist temptations, and I felt a strength to do so come from within me, and it empowered me to keep going. I continued to praise the Lord even in my prison cell. Two months or so before I was released, I was able to get visits every other Monday night from Tyler Brickley. This is how I met Jonathan also. Tyler helped me to understand a little better what was happening in me. I thought I was going crazy, but he was crazy too, so I felt more comfortable. I had big plans to go live with my son's mom in Eureka, but Tyler encouraged me to pray about this decision and have the courage to obey what I heard him saying. I heard him saying that he wouldn't bless our relationship if I chose to go live with her because we weren't married. I felt the strong urge to stay in El Dorado, and I chose to obey. And this is one of the hardest decisions I ever made because I thought that was the right thing to do. But 2 weeks later, Tyler brought me news that I had a place to stay at the apartments. This was wild to me, that people I didn't know well at all were going to rescue me from prison and try to steer me in the right direction. I got out and was very overwhelmed by all the love that was shown to me. It was probably only a few months after I got out of prison that I started to rebel against that voice inside my head. I started to turn my back on God. I ended up getting this girl that I was dating, who is now my wife, pregnant, and I decided it was my responsibility to go live with her against all the counsel of this church. I sat down with several members and agreed that I was disobeying, but I made excuses and continued to do so. They showed me scripture to prove that I was disobeying. 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11 says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of the world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother, like I did, or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. And I imagine that this was tricky for them to handle in a proper way. But they did have the Bible to point them in the right direction. Matthew 18 says, 15 through 17, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their sin or their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen to you, like I, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Like me, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I saw this firsthand. Tyler came and spoke to me. Tyler and Jonathan spoke truth to me. Spencer had me come to his office, and he spoke the truth to me. The truth is, I didn't care. I had hardened my heart to these people and to God. So I ended up packing all of our things, and we moved to Phillipsburg, Kansas, about 4 hours north of here. I got a job right away. We got a place of our own. I felt like we were doing well. I convinced myself we must be doing the right thing. Isn't he still blessing us? The only problem was I had no peace and joy. I felt lonely again. That love I felt was gone. It was all still there in the same place, but I had just turned my back on the source of anything that is good and holy. Sometime in February, we began to go to church again. Then one night, we went and watched a movie because the pastor suggested it. God's Not Dead. God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit with a movie. Imagine how much relief I felt. Also, those truths that my brothers had been sharing with me became revealed again. I was completely blinded by the way and will, my way and will, until the Father decided it was time for me to open my eyes. Then we got married about a month later. After we got married, I couldn't keep a job to save my life. And finally, I decided I was being led back to El Dorado. And I even slept in my truck for a couple nights to make it possible. But even when I was getting fired from a job or wondering how I would buy diapers because I had just got fired, I would pray to Jesus and he would make it okay. Maybe not great all of a sudden, but he made it possible for me to get through it. Cassie and I are both taking the steps to grow in Christ, and I want to thank you all personally for coming after me when I was living in immoral sin. If you wouldn't have planted those seeds of truth in me, I may still be blind to it. And to any of you who may be ignoring that voice when he is telling you to do something, you're on a slippery slope. It's dangerous, and in my case, Satan was able to get in there and destroy what God had built in me. Hebrews 3:12-13 offers us some advice. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's what happened to me. I started sinning, and then it was a snowball effect. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. But on the flip side of this, there is a beautiful gift called grace. His name is Jesus. He already has his hand out. Will you grab a hold of it and begin to live? Please remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God bless you all.
So we just wanted this living testimony to be in front of you of the Lord redeeming. And even through the hard things, Jonathan, those guys could have chosen to just try to make Stephen happy so he keep coming to our thing. But they went with the truth, shared that, and then his heart turned by the grace of God. So that's life of disciples, bearing the truth and loving one another all the way through. And Steve's now bearing fruit. So let's all stand, if you would. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness toward us in Christ, the invitation that Stephen gave. I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to give up on the deceitfulness of sin or lostness, that they would come to you today and trust you. They would embrace even the loving, hard fellowship of a righteous community, and Lord, would find liberty. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you for many others like that. We pray for blessing. Pray for blessing on everyone this week, that you would anoint and bless them as they go forward this week, that they would have living experiences with you, that, Lord, you would cause us to be witnesses for your glory and your government. We thank you for Jesus, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless. Hug and kiss a few people as you go, and if you need prayer, we'll be down here. God bless you all.